be using the 101 books. Let's turn to number 33 in the 101 book. I remember when my early
I
announcements this morning. Don't forget, as we just had communion, there is our Deacon's Fund or Deacon Benevolence offering. There's a special basket in the back there if you'd like to contribute to that. The church uses that money to give to some folks within the church family here that might have financial needs. So if you would like to contribute to that, that would be good. Also, last week we mentioned that Pastor Reddy let us know that he had some medical needs and needed some money to take care of that. So if you would like to give an offering to that, you can. Take one of the envelopes there in the back and put your money in it and put on it Pastor Reddy Medical and put it in the blue box in the back that has Pastor Reddy's name on it, and we will take care of that. Also, don't forget up here in the front on the organ, there is a card for John Vassell and his family. Obviously, a lot of us knew Debbie, and she went home to be with the Lord recently. So if you have not had a chance to sign the card and would like to do so and give a little note of encouragement to him, you can do that. And then also, we are going to give him a little love offering to help offset some funeral expenses and whatever needs he might have. And take one of the envelopes and write John Vassell on it and put it in the regular offering box. And we'll take care of that as well. So also don't forget, on the 20th is the church work day. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning. And there will be a small little continental-type breakfast. We're not going to have a big meal because otherwise we'll never get started. Everybody will be too sleepy and sluggish, right? So there'll be like donuts and coffee and something like that. So at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, the 20th of this month, we'll be having a church work day. While you're here, take a look around and see what areas might need taken care of. And if there are special tools that you might have that might be a benefit to the church, please bring those along with you when you come for that work day. I think that's all the announcements I have. One thing that we like to do in all of our services is in our adult Sunday school class, we have a scripture memory passage that we try to hopefully, some of you probably know the verses already, but if you don't, you can take the opportunity to study it on your own, and then we say it together in our services. For this time, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So why don't we say those together, all right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, very good. For our song then, let's turn to number 85 in our 101 book. 85 in our 101 book. Every. now. We'll have a special, and then Brother Renzi can come.
A life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward, just one touch. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing, for life can't be sealed in a tomb.
Tell you what, thanks to Calvary, amen. I am not the man I used to be, amen. That's another good song too. That was a great hymn, brother. I'll tell you the song I like too is "I Will Glory in the Cross." That's another one there. In fact, I was ready to end off that song with that. And "I Will Glory in the Cross." And you know, it's amazing because, well, by the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would please. The wonderful thing is, not only did we have the Lord's table this morning, but we're going to be talking about that cross this morning as well. And so perfect, perfect hymn, and we thank the Lord for it. And I found a new coat holder, I think. Amen. Now don't go saying, okay, let's see if it falls. Be spending our time on that, amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to preach a little bit about the cross this morning, amen. And thank God for the cross, amen. You know, the greatest burden, obviously, that the cross takes care of is our sin burden. Amen. How many people remember Pilgrim's Progress? You know, he's carrying that burden of sin. But it was at that cross that that burden was dropped. Amen. And right now, for you and I that are saved, it's the throne of grace that helps with all the other burdens. Amen. We take them to the Lord in prayer. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I started something a month ago. The last time we had the Lord's table, I started an outline. I got done one point, and so I said, you know what? Lord willing, next month we have the Lord's table. I'll pick up on it. Amen. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last month, and I don't expect you to remember everything, that's for sure. But we're from the text that we read about the Lord's table. This Lord's table provokes us to look in three different directions. Last month, we started to talk about the one direction that we are to look at when we come to the Lord's table, and that is we look backward. And that's what the Lord's table is all about. Look back at the cross. Look what Jesus did for us. Amen. Another one of my favorite hymns is, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Amen. One of my favorite hymns also is Near the Cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Amen. And so love the cross, what it's done for me and what it can do for you. Amen. And what it has done for you as well. Thank God for the cross. But anyway, when we come to the Lord's table, it reminds us to look back. In fact, we note it from what we read earlier, and I'll read it just very quickly. 23, Paul said, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, take, eat, this is my body, this which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so he says, when you take the matzah, when you take the bread, when you take the juice, it's all to remember me. We don't have a physical picture of the Lord. Our picture's right there. Verse number 26 says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as long as we do this, we do show what? The Lord's death. That's the whole point. We are remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can't remember the death of Christ without thinking about the cross. Amen. Because that cross was a symbol of death. No doubt about it. We are to look back, if you will. This Lord's table provokes us to look back at the cross. Last time we were together on the Lord's table, I spoke about this. When I look back to the cross of Christ, number one, I see the pardon of God. The pardon of God. And we're talking about forgiveness. Amen. It's the blood of Christ, it's the cross of Christ that brings you and I forgiveness, amen? Colossians, matter of fact, if you'll turn there for a moment, Colossians chapter number 1, please. And let me just reiterate what we talked about last month. In the book of Colossians chapter number 1, and I want you to note verse number 14, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible says this. In the context, verse number 13 ends with his dear son. It's referring to Jesus Christ. And verse 14, picking up the thought about Jesus Christ, says this, in whom we have redemption. That's salvation, by the way. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now skip down to verse number 20, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. And having made peace. That's peace with God, if you will. And by the way, that's what happens the day you get saved. You make peace with God. Amen. Before you get saved, you're at enmity with God. When you get saved, you now are at peace with God. Amen. By the way, it's never a good thing to die at war with the Lord. Amen. In fact, getting saved is how you make your peace with the Lord. Amen. It's not any other way. And so verse number 20 says, and having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross. By him, referring to Jesus, to reconcile. That word reconcile to mean to bring two people that are at odds, to bring them together. To reconcile all things unto himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And we talked about this. The only people that can be saved are people that are on earth that can be saved and people that are in heaven. The sad truth is, if you don't get saved while you're here, you can't get saved afterwards. Amen? God's children and God's people are only those that are in heaven and those that are here on earth that are saved. Amen? He says in verse number 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22, how? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ that our sins are cleansed. Amen. Our sins are forgiven and we can have peace with God. Amen. In fact, the just for the unjust, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, that he might bring us to God. Amen. He was just. He was perfect and righteous in every way. And yet he died the sinner's death. He died my death, that he might bring me to God. Amen. And that's the wonderful, wonderful truth about that. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might have his righteousness, if you will. The Bible says about Jesus in reference to prophecy in Isaiah 53, all we have sinned, we've gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. On the cross, God laid our sin on his son and judged his son. And on the cross, Jesus took our place when he died. He became sin. The very moment he became sin, I believe, was the very moment that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Amen. And because of the cross, we see the pardon of God. We see the forgiveness of God. We think of Psalm 103, verse number 12. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In fact, one scripture I can't think of where it's at exactly, it says he cast our sin behind his back. When you cast something behind your back, no matter which way you turn, you can never see it. He took our sins and he cast them behind his back out of his sight. Amen. Hebrews 8:12, the Bible says about this new covenant that you and I are partakers of through the blood of Jesus Christ. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. When we look back at the cross, we see the pardon of God. Now we're in Colossians. I want you to look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 14, please. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 14. We see the pardon of God when we see that cross. Colossians 2, look at verse number 14. Blotting out. By the way, that term means obliterating. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Our sin was blotted out because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. But let me give you another thought. I want you to know, turn with me if you would, back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not only do we see the pardon of God when we look back at the cross, but you and I also can see the power of God. The power of God. In fact, that was the essence of that song right there. And that's the essence of the song, Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. You see, not only did Christ die on that cross to bring us pardon, but Christ died on that cross to bring us power in our lives. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 18, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says this, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unsaved people, Sometimes they see the cross as nothing but foolishness. But watch what he says. But unto us, that's you and I that are saved, watch what he says. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. Not only do I see in that cross my sins being forgiven, amen? And thank God for forgiveness. Jesus didn't just die for my past sins. In fact, all my sins were future at the time that he died. Amen? Jesus Christ died for my sins that are past, present, and future. There'll never be sin held against me because of what Jesus did on that cross. But seeing that pardon of God is one thing. Knowing I'm forgiven and forgiven forever is one thing. But the fact of the matter is, it's because of what he did on that cross that you and I can have power in our lives to be what God wants us to be. We don't have to be what we used to be. We can be what we ought to be, all because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago. Amen? In fact, I want you to note something. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Colossians. I should have had you hold something there. Colossians chapter 2 again. I want you to note something. In chapter 2, verse number 14, a moment ago, we looked at the fact that his cross dealt with our sin, the penalty of our sin, if you will, in reference to forgiveness. But I want you to see verse number 15, if you would. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 15. It continues the thought about the cross, and here's what it says. And having spoiled, that means he got the victory that day. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil and his domain. Amen? In fact, the Bible says, let me just say this. On the cross, the Lord Jesus fulfilled Genesis 3:15. Amen? You may recall, when sin entered into the world, God promised he would send a redeemer who would bruise his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus bruised his heel. It hurt him. But at that very time, he crushed the serpent's head. And by the way, we know who the serpent is. The serpent is none other than the devil. In fact, the Bible calls him in the book of Revelation what? That old serpent. Amen. Why? Because Revelation takes you all the way back to Genesis. Amen. That's where the old serpent, by the way, the old serpent is still up to his old tricks. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, on the cross, not only did Christ purchase my pardon, but on the cross, Christ gave me the possibility and the opportunity to overcome the wicked one. Amen. And by the way, if you're saved, might I say this, you have the power and you have the victory over the wicked one. Amen. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our what? Faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our saving faith, if you will. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm so glad Jesus died for me, because in his dying for me, might I say that this way, he set me free. Amen. He set me free. In fact, you probably sing Jesus, or Satan had me bound. You sing that one? Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I had to finish that one, right? Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse number 14. I want you to see this. The devil does not have power over God's people no more. Amen. If you've been saved, you've been set free. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, referring to Jesus, likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus became flesh and blood. Jesus became a human being. Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary. Amen. He became the second Adam, if you will. If he's going to redeem the human race, he has to be a part of the human race. And that's what he did. And here's what it said. He became man, if you will. He became a human being. Verse number 14. That what? Through death. There it is. There's the cross again. That through death he might do what? Destroy. Anybody with me? Well, who's he going to destroy? Him. Amen. That through death he might destroy him that had power of death. That is what? The devil. The Lord Jesus Christ on that cross crushed the power and the ability of the devil. Amen. You and I can be what we ought to be. We don't have to be what we used to be, all because of Calvary. Amen. Oh, that cross means more than pardon. That cross means power. Amen. It means power. Look at 1 John, if you would, chapter number 3. I'm glad for this, folks. I'm so glad for this. I was an alcoholic 30 years ago. A little more than 30 years ago. Alcoholic. Stuck on cigarettes, too, by the way. And other cigarettes, funny cigarettes. I was stuck in a lot of sin, but I got right with God. But here's the sad thing. I was saved, stuck willingly. It's almost like I was sitting in a prison cell. Somebody came up, unlocked, and said, "You're free to go." And I said, "No, I'm enjoying myself." But after enjoying yourself for so long, it's not enjoyable. You know, those that enjoy themselves Friday night usually feel terrible Saturday morning. Can I get a witness on that one? By the way, somebody said, be careful of this Saturday Night Live. You wake up Sunday morning dead. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, but when I finally got right with God, I realized that no, I don't have to be stuck in these things no more. The cross did more than forgive me. The cross set me free. Amen. And I want you to look with me in 1 John, if you would, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter number 3. And look with me in verse number 8 and 9. 1 John, chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9. Pardon me for a moment. I hate to interrupt something, but when the voice is starting to give me problems, we got to hopefully take care of that. And I'm just hoping they didn't put any Benadryl in this or anything like that. Amen. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 8 and 9. The Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. By the way, let me just say this. There's a lot of misunderstanding and misinterpretation of this text. There are people that take this and say, well, look, if you're saved, you can't sin no more. That's not what it's saying. Committeth means this, living in sin. What he's implying is this. If you're saved, you will not live in sin like you used to live in sin anymore. You see, why not? Because it ain't going to work like it used to work. When you lived in sin and you were oblivious, it didn't bother you. You try to live in sin as a child of God, it's going to bother you and or God will chasten you. It ain't going to be the same. Amen. But I want you to see the context. Look at verse number 8. He that committeth sin, living in sin, if you will, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, watch this now. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. By the way, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus came as God in the flesh for this purpose, that he might destroy what? The works of the devil. In fact, we just got done reading in Hebrews where the cross says he destroyed the devil. This text said he destroyed the works of the devil. What's the context of the works of the devil? You and I don't have to live under his domination and live in sin like we used to anymore. Amen? We don't have to do it. Look at verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God, that's saved right there, doth not commit sin. You're not going to live in sin. Not like you used to. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Amen? You cannot live in sin like you used to live in sin if you're a child of God. And might I say this? You don't have to. You don't have to. Amen? I want you to note something in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians for a moment, please. Chapter number 2. Now, if you've never been saved out of a lot of sin, you've been saved from a lot of sin. Some of us have been saved out of a lot of sin, amen? Some have been saved from a lot of sin. God saved you and spared you from it, amen? Nonetheless, we thank God for it. The book of Ephesians chapter number 2, let me see here. Look at, in a moment, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Paul said this. Chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. You see, before you get saved, you're dead. You're born with a dead spirit. Amen. When you get saved, you become alive. Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. He saved people who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse number 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, under his domination, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What he's telling these people is, when you got saved, God saved you where you were. He saved you from being stuck in that situation. Look at verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, by the way, there's the difference right there. In verses 1 to 3, many people were stuck in this world, stuck under the domination of the devil, stuck in the control of the flesh. But God, he stepped in and he saved you. In verses 5 through 9, which we also have the memory verses, we got saved by the grace of God. Amen. We were living in bad works. Many of us were living in bad works. The grace of God saved us where we were. Look at verse number 10 of the same chapter. Verse number 10. After salvation, here's what happens. For we are his workmanship. So what does that mean? After we get saved by the grace of God, he begins to work in our hearts and in our lives. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, Paul said, I'm confident and be confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. The day you got saved was the day that God began a work in your heart and in your life to make you what you ought to be. Amen. In fact, how many people know that song? He's still working on me. Amen. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There are unfinished parts. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. He's still working on me. And that's what it's saying here. We got saved in a bad situation. The cross of Christ set us free. We don't have to be dominated by the world no more. We don't have to be dominated by the devil no more. We don't have to be dominated by the flesh no more. Now God is working in us and on us. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. Verse number 10. For we are his workmanship. What does that mean? God's working on us. Created in Christ Jesus. When you get in Christ, you get saved. When you get saved, God starts working. Unto what? Good works. You see, we got saved in our bad works. We got saved from our bad works. And he's working in us to do what? Good works. Amen. Which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. That's God's will for us. Amen. We were dead in sins. And by the way, Colossians 1:13 says that we were translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. The day you get saved, you go from darkness to light. Amen. In fact, in Acts chapter 26, verse number 19, Paul's ministry was to open the eyes of the Gentiles, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of the devil to the power of God. Amen. In fact, in Romans chapter number 6, turn there if you would for a moment, please. Romans chapter number 6, please. Romans chapter number 6. See, when I see the cross, I don't just see pardon, although that's there. Thank God that there's forgiveness. I'm forgiven because of the cross of Jesus Christ. But I also see that cross as a key that sets me free. Amen. I don't have to live like I used to live. Because Jesus Christ and that cross made the difference and makes the difference. Amen. In fact, let me just say this. Ephesians 2 talks about the fact we were dead in sin when we got saved. But Romans chapter 6 talks about the fact that we now ought to be dead to sin. Amen. Look with me in verse number 6. Romans 6, 6. And by the way, Romans 6 is a great chapter that basically says you're free to go. You're free to go. Amen. You don't have to live like you used to live. Look at Romans 6, 6. The Bible says this, knowing this, that our old man, that's the old nature, the old sinful flesh, right? Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him. There's a cross right there. That the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. He came to destroy the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he came to destroy the works of my sinful nature. Amen. That henceforth, watch this now, that henceforth, you know what that means? From now on, we should not serve sin. Hey, we can never be sinless. We'll never be perfect in this life. But we don't have to serve sin like a slave no more. Amen? We're not slaves no more. In fact, I want you to look at verse number 7. The Bible says this, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Skip down to verse number 11, if you will. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. That word reckon means count it. Count it. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Let not sin be the king of your life. Amen. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, the parts of your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Skip down to verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You know what he's saying? You used to be slaves of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's the gospel. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Skip down to verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I'm so glad that when I see that cross, I realize the devil's been defeated. His work in my life has been defeated. It doesn't have to be. Amen. And my own sinful nature doesn't have to dominate my life no more. I can actually reign and be victorious through Jesus Christ and because of that cross. Amen. No doubt about that, right? There are things that Jesus can do that others can't do for you. Amen. There's a story, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but in Mark chapter number 5, some of you may recall the man who was demon possessed. In Mark chapter number 5, the maniac of Gadara, we call him, Jesus came to him, to this man, and this man was filled with legions of demons. They tried to help him. Two times it says no man could bind him. No man could tame him. He was naked. He would run around the graveyard. He would cut himself and just under the devil's influence. Nobody could help him. But then Jesus came. And what did Jesus do? He cast out those demons. And then before you know it, you find the man sitting. No longer running around like a nut. Sitting. You find him clothed, no longer naked. And you find him in his right mind. You see, this man was under the devil's control. No doubt about it, right? And people tried to help him and they could not help him. Jesus Christ was the one who came and made the difference. And that man said, Lord, I want to stay with you. And Jesus said, no, go show your friends what great things God hath done for you. In fact, we could sing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. There are some things that others cannot do for you that only Jesus can do for you, thanks to his cross, amen? But then there are things that you can't do for yourself that he can do for you. In fact, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 13, please. Luke, chapter number 13. The cross, when I see that cross, I see not only pardon, not just my sins forgiven, but I see deliverance. I don't have to be what I used to be. And then here's the blessed thing as well. I can be what I ought to be. You may not be so concerned about, I don't have to be what I used to be, because maybe what you used to be wasn't so bad. But let me tell you something. Without that cross, you could never be what you ought to be. Amen. I want you to see Luke chapter number 13, please. Luke chapter number 13. There are some things that others cannot do for us that only Jesus can do to set us free. And then there are some things we cannot even do for ourselves that we need Jesus to do for us that we might truly be set free. In Luke chapter number 13, there's a story here and I want you to see it. Beginning in verse number 11, Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 11. I want you to see what the Bible says here. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise, get this, lift up herself. And that's something, she couldn't help herself. You say, what do we got here? We got a synagogue. And we got a woman in the synagogue. Now, what it means that she was bowed together basically was this. She was stuck, bent over. Stuck, bent over. Can I tell you, what is the only thing that you can focus on when you're stuck, bent over? This world. This world. By the way, that's where unsaved people are. Their focus is only here and now. Can I get a witness on that one? This woman goes to the synagogue. She's bent over and there's no way she can lift up herself. And that's a great picture of salvation. You can't save yourself, by the way. Look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. I like that. Just as you are, come over here. You know, he didn't say straighten up and come here. Come over here in the bent over situation you're in, just as I am. Amen? Come over here. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Verse 13, and he's laid his hands on her. In fact, one of the statements in that song had to do with God's touch making the difference. And that's what happened here. Watch what happened. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made what? Straight. And glorified God. By the way, I see an application in there talk about being morally straight. You know, we're crooked before we get saved. In fact, we're crooked till we get saved. But when we get saved, he's the one that straightens us up. Amen? See, it's his power. It's the cross. We come to that cross with the burden. We come like pilgrim with the burden. We come bent over. We come crooked. But that cross and salvation is what straightens us up. I've been flying straight, pretty straight, for about 30 years now since I got right with the Lord. Amen. In fact, somebody was saying, can any good thing come out of Philadelphia? Kind of reminded me, can any good thing come out of Nazareth, right? If God touches something. But let me tell you something. God touched a crooked kid. Straightened me out a lot. Amen. Not as straight as I like to be, but nonetheless, I'm straighter than I used to be. Amen. But I'm saying it. He, in the synagogue, by the way, you got a demon-possessed person outside the synagogue that Jesus needs to touch and heal. And then you got a crooked person inside the synagogue that he needs to touch and heal. Amen. Being in the synagogue didn't make a difference, did it? Verse number 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. It's amazing how people get mad when God does great things. I heard of people getting saved and getting straightened out and going to tell their family. And their family say, well, we didn't know you were going to be a religious nut now. Some of them would rather have that alcoholic or that drug addict who's not religious than some man who's straight but religious. It's amazing, isn't it? But nonetheless, and their ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Oh my, you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to help anybody on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be a blessing to anybody on the Sabbath day. You're supposed to be miserable on the Sabbath day. You're supposed to be unhappy. You're not supposed to smile. It's the Lord's day. It's a miserable day. Am I right on that one, folks? God help us. And he said, listen, you heal on the Sabbath. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Oh, so healing was a work, right? In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. By the way, some people, you'll never make them happy no matter what you do. Amen. Now, verse number 15, the Lord then answered him. Here's what the Lord said to him. You hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall? Some people are more merciful to their animals than they are people. Especially nowadays, folks. That's the truth, isn't it? And the truth of the matter is, you are of more value than many sparrows. You and I are of more value than animals, amen? Not that I disrespect animals. I got one at home, believe me. Oh, anyway, let's not go there. He said, you loose your ox and you loose your ass from a stall and you lead them away to water. You take care of your animals on the Sabbath. He said, you're a hypocrite. Look at verse number 16. And here's what I want you to see. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she was a Jewish woman, whom what? What'd she say? Satan hath bound. See, we wouldn't have known that if we didn't read on. She was bent over. She was in a stuck position. Her only focus was this life and this world. And she was hopeless and helpless, even in the church, in the synagogue. until Jesus called her and until Jesus touched her and straightened her up and he loosed her from the devil's domination. There's the picture of you and I. Bent over Ephesians 2, stuck focusing only on this world and this life until we get saved and straightened up, and now we can look up. Amen? Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? Amen? There are some things that others cannot do for us, and there are some things we cannot do for ourselves. But thank God for Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. That cross means you and I don't have to be stuck in our sin no more. It doesn't mean we'll not trip up anymore. You know, there's a difference between tripping in the mud and wallowing in the mire. Can I get a witness on that one? I trip in the mud often. That's why I get cleaned often. But I just don't wallow there, thank God. And I don't have to wallow there. There are Christians that are wallowing in the mire and they don't have to. Amen? Why? Because Jesus Christ set them free. Amen? Galatians 1:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. His death was my deliverance from the domination of this world. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, talks about looking for that blessed hope. That's verse number 13, talking about Jesus Christ who delivers us. Amen. Who delivers us. Especially that he might change us and make us more and more what we ought to be. Let me close with one text. Turn with me and we'll close with this verse. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm going to ask Brother Jason and Brother Ralph, do we have Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross? Do we have Near the Cross in our hymn book, if you don't mind? Because I'm going to sing that one. We're going to sing that one as our closer. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm thanking God for Calvary. Amen. Because of Calvary, I'm not what I used to be. And I thank God for that. But I also thank God for this. Because of Calvary, I don't have to go back there neither. I can continue to live free and victorious, and I can become more and more what God wants me to be. Because of Calvary, get this, I can put off the old man, I can put off my sin, my flesh, and I can put on the new man. I can put on Christ-likeness and so on. Amen? All because of Calvary. 1 Peter chapter number 2, if you would, please. And I want you to look at verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, and we'll close with this verse. It says, who his own self, and it's talking about Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the cross. What's the next statement? That we, here it is, here's the reason, that we being dead to sin. See that? Before we got saved, we were dead in sin, meaning we were stuck in it. But because of his cross, we can now be dead to sin. We don't have to be stuck in it. We don't have to let it dominate our life. It goes on to say this, should live unto what? Righteousness. You see what he's saying? Because of the cross, we can live righteously. What's the next statement? By whose stripes you were healed. Amen. By the way, that healing, again, that healing is not just forgiveness of the past. That healing is, I can now be righteous, whereas I couldn't be it before. If we would have continued reading Romans 6, it would have said, before you were righteous, you were stuck in your unrighteousness. Now you're right, now you're saved, you can be righteous, and you don't have to be stuck in unrighteousness. Amen. And so, brothers, if you'll come, we're going to sing that hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Think about the words, and then after the hymn is over, I'm going to come back and close in a word of prayer. precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall salvation is found. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you're a child of God, it would be my pleasure to speak with you. If you're a lady, my wife would be here to speak with you. I would encourage you, if you have any questions about your salvation or being saved after the service, please come see me. I'll be up front here and we love to help you to know how to be saved according to the Bible. Amen. And if you are saved, we praise God for it. If you've never been baptized biblically according to the Bible, which is immersion, submitting your body completely in water, which is the picture of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, we'd love to talk to you about being baptized. In about a month, we're going to have the Lord's table again, and then we're going to have baptisms. If anybody needs to be baptized, if you need to be baptized, please see me, and we'll talk to you about that as well. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Oh, without it, Lord, we'd be lost. Thank you for that flashlight in this dark world that helps us to see, Lord, which way to go. Dear Lord, I pray this morning and I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the fact that in that cross there's forgiveness and there's also freedom. There's deliverance and we thank you for it. Dear Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that is not sure they're saved, Lord, we would love to speak with them. May they come and see me this morning and may we help them to know how to be saved according to the Bible. And those that are saved and maybe never been baptized, we're praying that they would also have the courage to identify themselves with you in that respect. Father, as we dismiss from this place, we ask for your watch care over everyone. Please help everyone to get to their destination safely. We pray for a blessed week, that you'll watch over us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have a great day. Amen.